Blog Talk Radio.
It's just a flat out of work. It's just a flat out of work. Are we living in a dream world? Are your eyes still green, girl? I know you're sick and tired of arguing, but you can't keep it bottled in. Jealousy, we gotta swallow it. Your heart and mind, baby, follow it. Smile, happiness, you can model it. And when you feel opposite, I just want you to know, your whole being is beautiful. I'ma do the best I can do, 'cause I'm my best when I'm with you. On your bags, love. I know in the past, love has been sort of hard on you, but I see the God in you. I just want to nurture it. Though this love may hurt a bit, we dealing with this water, love. You even give my daughter love. I want to build a tribe with you, protect and provide for you. Truth is, I can't hide from you. The pimp in me may have to die with you. To discover me, I just want you to be trusting me. I kind of laugh when you cussing me. The aftermath is you touching me. It's destiny that we connected, girl. You and I, we can affect the world. I'm tired of the fast lane. I want you to have my last name. Yeah, love.
Family, welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is Sister Seek Wisdom, and I have my sister Empress Conspiracy on the line. Peace, Queen.
Greetings, family.
We are still waiting for Sister Earth and Sister Magic. So while we're waiting, we're going to throw another song on right quick, but today we're going to be discussing proper mate selection. So while we're waiting on our other goddesses on the round table today, we're going to go ahead and play my sister's joint, Honey, by Erykah Badu.
That's right.
So tell me, what you want to do. Oh, honey, yeah.
caught me singing.
Yeah, we caught you singing.
Yeah, that's my jam.
Well, it's Sunday and everybody kicked back and relaxing.
Indeed.
We're still waiting on my other two sister queens, so we'll just kick it off, and when they're able to join us, they'll just, you know, blend right on in. So, sis, let's see. Where do we even start on this topic?
Well, we start with libations.
All right. There you go.
We have to do our rituals. Our rituals are important, and we cannot bypass or forget these things. So
that's right.
We must start with the libations. Give it homage to the queen.
All right. This is the balance.
Indeed. Hold on, let me get prepared.
That's all right. Well, you let me know when you're ready.
Sound like take my shoes off, get all out in the earth and stuff.
That's all right. That's how it's supposed to be done.
Indeed. All right. Oh, it's beautiful out here today, too.
Mm. You know what? You wait a minute. We're going to do this libation together. Hold on. You just said it was beautiful, and it is, so I can't leave you hanging. I don't know what you're doing your libations with today, sis, but I got a little rum.
Okay.
Ooh, it is pretty. All right, go ahead and kick it off, sis.
Okay. We give homage to the ancestors today. We ask them that they guide us, protect us as we go on our way, letting them know that we stand on their shoulders. We do not rest on their shoulders. I pour out libations for Sister Paulina Nkunda of Mozambique, warrior sister, freedom fighter.
Mayat. Sister Betty Shabazz.
Mayat. Queen
Harriet
Nzinga.
Tubman. Ooh.
Mayat.
Harriet Tubman.
Mayat. The Naya Bingay Queens. Mayat.
Since it's Mother's Day, I'm going to call on a couple of my
That's
queen
right.
mothers.
That's right.
My grandmother, Alma Charity.
Mayat. My great grandmother, Martha, medicine woman.
My Nana, as I will call her, Grandma Fisher.
My grandmother, my great grandmother, rather, Ernestine. My aunt. Great grandmother, M. My aunt. My grandmother, Minnie.
Oh, I had a great grandma, Minnie, so my yacht to both of them.
To all the queens and all the warriors that came before us, to the ones that watch over us and guide us, to the ones whose spirits we embody, we give homage, we give thanks. My yacht.
All right, sis. Well, currently, you and I are still the only queens on the line, so we're going to go ahead and get to it. You know how we get when we start building with each other, so.
Indeed.
All right.
What's the chat and everything looking like? Is there anybody in?
I don't. Let me go look and check.
I'm about to in a second.
What's the importance of mate selection, sis?
The importance of mate selection, well, I was actually going into it a little bit with you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that mate selection is one of the most important things with laying a foundation for nation building between a man and a woman, because a nation can't build without the male and the feminine principle. So mate selection, proper mate selection, is an important thing. On a physical, on a spiritual, on a mental, economic, on all levels.
Indeed. Wow. let me just get into what we wanted to touch on. To answer your question, no one is in the chat room right now. You know, this is our second Black Womaniverse show, but the first on this particular page on Blog Talk. So, and it's a Sunday. You know, everybody's laid back on Sunday. So we'll just, you know, do the show knowing that people will be in the archives and listening to it later.
Indeed.
Let's see. What role does mate selection have on building our nation? I guess, how important is that when it comes to building a nation?
It's of the greatest importance. That's the most important thing, I think, next to, I mean, because I always say that you have to start off with the family. The Black family is the foundation to building a house, you know, to building this nation. And so if you don't have a proper family, if your family's not in order, then the nation's not going to be in order.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, definitely 100%. You know, just to build upon what you just stated, it's important because that's the basis of the family. But it's also important. I'm just going to link this into one other thing: rites of passage. The rites of passage process for the young women is of utmost importance, and it's also of utmost importance to the young men. Currently, the young men do have a form of rites of passage. It may not be the right one by a long shot, but young men, you know, the men grab the little boys and tell them, you know, certain things about not falling in love with the first woman they get to and understand, you know, they go through all that with the young men. But for some reason, some of our mothers don't give us that. They kind of sort of tell us, well, kind of sort of decrease our feminine, like, when they see us outside playing with them hula hoops and when they see the curves start to form on us, they get scared. So we don't necessarily have that rites of passage and that understanding of womanhood and what that means and how not to be ashamed of us coming into womanhood. And I think that is the basis for some of the mistakes we have when we come into or come upon selecting a mate.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. I think that is one of the biggest things that we have. And I think something that someone said to me a while ago, it's been about a year or so, but if the people teaching you weren't taught right, then they're just passing down their mistakes. So all we're doing is perpetuating the cycle. You know, you can't have someone who has bad credit teach you about money. And so you can't have someone who has a tumultuous relationship try to teach you about how to love your man, how to love your king, how to love your children, how to love yourself. You know, if they're in a disruptive and a dysfunctional situation, then they can't properly tell you how to go about doing what you have to do.
Indeed.
And some folks don't even know that they're in a dysfunctional situation. Sometimes dysfunctional takes on the face of function.
Yeah, if all we're used to, or if all the, you know, these individuals are used to in these situations is dysfunction, that is normal to them.
Yeah.
You know, that is normal to them. And until someone they trust kind of sort of says, well, you know, hold on, or until they experience things for themselves and realize, you know what, this is what I said I want. This don't quite match up with what I want. And now that I'm, you know, looking at it, and now that I've experienced this and I've gone through a little bit of pain with this, I realize this is what I want, and now I'm ready to grow because now I have my own experience to learn from. And I think I can speak for myself. Sometimes I have, based on my experiences, whether it be relationship-wise or just any old situation, sometimes I try to save family members or friends from going through what I've been through based on my experience when I know I didn't learn from what somebody else learned. The only thing they did was kind of sort of try to tell me and kind of sort of set back and let me go through my thing on my own, because until I went through my own situation and my own experience did I learn, you know what, that wasn't the best thing for me. But had I not gone through it on my own, I wouldn't have known that. And that's a prime example of, you know, us not being able to put our experience on other people, but at the same time allowing them to go through what they're going through so that they can grow from it. You know, so that's another thing that affects mate selection as well.
I think we have to go through things on our own, but let's see how I could put this, because it takes both. I think it takes actually experiencing, you know, because someone can tell you about heartache, mm-hmm. and then someone can let you experience heartache.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes both. Whereas, you know, it's good to have that person guide you and tell you where you need to be. Sometimes you don't get it until you actually experience it, or someone near you experiences it and you actually are witness to that experience.
Mm.
But also that when the best, I guess the best way you can go about it is you have to tell them early. You know, we talk about rites of passage, but telling us early, we have to have proper examples. And it don't always have to be your mother. You know,
right.
That could be a woman in your village or in your community that's gone through something or has experienced life, you know, that could kind of guide you in the right direction. And it's not all going to be, you know, roses and strawberries. Sometimes it's still going to get messed up and you're still going to, you know, fall down and scrape your knee. But, you know, to quote the song, experience is a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. True indeed, sis. You know, I mean, it's funny you should say that, though, but it's true. It's true. How many times have, you know, someone close to us tried to warn us about something, and we looked at them like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is different from your situation. And then it truly is different because it's happening to us and not them now. But as soon as we're finished with it, we go look at them and like, I don't want to tell her she's right, but she is right. And we just kind of sort of like,
I do that to my mother all the time. I love my mother, and I do that to her all the time. It's like the older I get, the more I see how she makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the more I see the stuff that she was telling me all along, you know, made sense. It's making sense. But when you're 15, 16, you ain't hearing that. You're like, she don't know what she's talking about. She crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She on some other stuff. It ain't like that. You know, it's a different
age.
Exactly.
That's what I was about to say. Yep. That was what she went through when she was young. Well, it's different
now.
And,
different. And
little do we know, ain't nothing different under the sun.
Nope.
We have a different experience.
It's a different time.
We have a caller calling in. I'm going to check the lines to see who that is. Private caller 111. Thank you for calling the Black Womaniverse. Who are we speaking with? Okay, I guess they're just listening, so I'm going to mute them back out.
That's the police.
Well, let them listen then. Let them listen. Let's see. So, we discussed why is it important, or what role does mate selection have in nation building? And I think we touched on why is it important to select the proper mate. Or did we? I don't think we touched on that yet.
I don't think we touched on that, not quite.
Yeah, let's
well,
go
into that. Well, I'll let you go first on that one.
Why is it important? Why is it important to select
mate?
The proper mate? Wow. What's important to me, in my opinion, it's important for, you know, multiple reasons. If you pick the wrong mate, or the mate that's not right for you at the point you're in your life, you could possibly end up losing a lot of time. And what I mean by that is, for me, I'll speak about my example because, okay, this caller has their hand up again, so let's go back there before I hold on. Hey, caller, you're on the line. Who are we speaking with? Hello, 111, you're on the line. State your name and where you're calling from.
Could it be 513?
Okay, I can't see the numbers coming up as private or something.
Oh, okay. I'm just listening right now.
Okay. I think I know who this is.
Who is it? Who is it?
It's 513.
Yeah.
That's I'm gonna tell you in a second.
I'm waiting.
Queen of Fama?
Nah.
No, that's not Queen of Fama. I don't know who that is then. 513. I know that's the Ohio area.
That's correct.
I can't think. My brain went.
I was thinking it might have been Sister Tira, but I don't think so.
No, that's the older sister there.
Yeah,
Tira sound like us. Pastor Flowers?
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Like,
you?
I know that voice.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Listen to wisdom.
Oh, wow. Well, I got to keep you on the line. You say you're just listening, but I'm keeping you on the line.
Definitely.
I'm keeping you on the line.
Well, this is Empress Conspiracy.
How you doing, Empress? How you doing? Happy Mother's Day, ladies.
To you.
Happy Mother's Day to you. Wow. What were we just about to touch on? Why is it important to select the proper mate?
Ooh.
Wow.
Would you like to answer that question?
Would you like to answer that question?
Would I?
Yeah.
Because for one, you never completely get anything accomplished, and you can go insane.
Mm.
Wow.
Real serious.
Yeah, that is serious.
Real serious. Because, I mean, this person isn't letting your energy and letting all that you were put here for come forward.
Mm.
It's like putting a roadblock. Mm. And you can't really help him to be the best that he can be either. And so it really takes you knowing yourself. You can't pick a proper mate until you know you.
Mm. That's right.
Because most of the times, you know, throughout marriage, when you've been married a long time, say you get married at 20, by 25, you done changed. And he'll look at you and say, well, you done changed. and that's right, you have.
You're not the little girl I fell in love with.
Yeah, wow. Not just dumb and blind.
That's right.
You know, so life and time wakes you up. But, you know, you go through all kinds of things. And see, as a little girl, you know, it just depends on what you did learn. You know, it's important to have the rites of passage programs. Very important, very. And it's also important for experience. But when we talk about time, it must be a clear-cut example because you don't have time to waste. So you be 20 today, and by the time you get it, you might be 50.
Mm.
Your time is up.
Right. I think that was what I was trying to touch on. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. You know, we all, well, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody else. I know that I was put here for a reason. I know what my mission is. And so looking back on some of the things I've been through, to me, my biggest experience, and I'm only 28 years old, so I still have a lot of life and a lot more experiences to go through. But
right,
me,
because
time
in the next
is the biggest thing.
Yeah, in the next 2 years, you're going to go through a dramatic change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's almost certain intervals that you're going to go through as a woman, as your hormones and everything begin to vibrate and up and down. Just a lot of things. Because it just depends on, too, the information coming in and how we understand our womb. And most of us don't understand our womb.
That's true.
And because of this misunderstanding, we begin to pollute our womb. So, you know, you even knock your own body system off by the foreign things that you have allowed to come in, and you get caught up trying to figure out what that is, but time is still moving, and then when you wake up, you were supposed to have been at a different place. You know, it's like I was telling the young lady the other day, I said, in average in this country, most people are coming out of school at 21 with a bachelor's degree or more. Some of them coming out with a master's. And then you're just starting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a whole lot that's missing. And then you got to really understand how to be a good detective. You got to have all your eyes got to be open, because men put on a lot of different masks for a lot of different reasons. But the main reason is fear, because he's afraid of you, because he's been told, through his improper rites of passages to look out for you, that you go do something to him, you know. And so you battling, you know, and then you're falling in love, and that's about the most ignorant statement ever put on the face of the earth. You're falling in love, because love is something that you don't fall. You're supposed to be basically using your noggin, your brain, to work it through, because it's a growing thing, just like everything else grows and changes.
I like what it's a song by Stephen Marley, and he says, "I'm standing in love."
Yeah,
I love that. I love that statement, because it's like you're actually in the presence of love. You're not falling or, you know, anything of
no.
that nature, but you're standing in the presence of love.
Yeah, and love takes you on a journey, you know, because you really have to have a brother that
inside the ride indicates where you're going with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and if he got good driving skills.
I know that's right.
You know, it's a whole lot, because some of the biggest things about the, especially the melanated, Africanized, ebonized, beautiful black woman, is she doesn't understand her own sexuality.
Yeah.
And it's something else.
Wow.
Because if most women understood who they were, that's what the men don't want you to understand. And see, that's a whole lot of problems there. It's a lot of stuff that's programming and stuff that is in this world, so that you do not understand truly who you are. By the time you find out who you are, you done hit menopause. And then you find out menopause is not really good. You know, that it's a disease. And so it's a whole lot of stuff that you got to find out. And when you got a breath, and the thing about black men, they understand us in some ways more than we understand ourselves. And that's dangerous.
Yes. Yes. I was just touching on that the other day. People I was speaking with, but we talked about that, how a lot of men, because of our lack of knowledge in ourselves, they're researching us, and they know our bodies better than we do.
Yep.
And some of them don't use it for positive reasons.
Oh, and none of it's being used for positive reasoning. Even the so-called conscious brother who pretends to
Indeed.
Be conscious. You see, he has information about you. He's saying that you come to him, and he's going to be your savior. He's going to help you know yourself. Well, you got to always have your antenna up, because anytime somebody tell you they're going to save you from you, you got to be careful. Because they ain't trying to save you from you. They trying to keep you in a state of mind so they can control you. And that's the whole paradigm that's on the road. That's on the thing, to control her mind, so that he can come out and have the better results. And so she doesn't know who she is, because, I mean, we have a real epidemic. We have little bitty babies. I thought I was going crazy, but I'm not. It's an epidemic of little babies being molested by brothers, fathers, and things like that, stuff that we don't want to talk about, and the stuff that the brothers don't want to deal with, that they're on the down low. It's a lot of things that there's a lot of different masks being put on. And so you don't understand, and then your mothers, and we didn't have so many generations of women that they just don't say nothing. Or they, you know, when I came up in the day, back in the 40s and the 50s, they say stuff like, he just a doll. Well, what the hell is a doll? What that mean? What does it really mean?
Right.
And then when your hormones get to rolling around, you don't look at him like no dog. And it's just a programming. He's learning things, would you believe, from the time he goes to kindergarten. There are even prior before, because somebody's told that boy, if you fall and bump your knee, don't be a punk, don't be a sissy. All of this is defaming the woman. So he's learned, he's just not started learning as he became a mature man. He's learned some things right in front of your face and you didn't know it, because women have given up their powers. I can't raise my sons. I need a brother. But if you really, really look through history, we've always raised our sons, and they've either been there most of the time, they haven't. And that's the truth. It ain't no new thing for baby mamas. This has always been, like she said on another statement, there is nothing new under the sun. What has happened is women have lost their power.
I don't even necessarily think we have lost our power. We have given up our power.
Well, that's it don't matter.
We
don't have
not there no more.
But it's important.
it don't matter whether we phrase it lost or given. Yeah, you have given it up, but you didn't even know you were giving it up.
Exactly, but that's the reason I phrased it like that was because we need to figure out or acknowledge that there's an exchange of power. Hey, we need to acknowledge the power we hold and understand what happens when we give that power up or when we lose it,
That's what the rites of passages program should be about.
Indeed.
You know, let you understand, really, to give you a synopsis of what is going to happen and what power really is, because that has to be truly defined, what power really is and isn't. And then as you go on, you know, through life, there are things that, you know, when you interact with people, you can understand what it is. But you really got to understand these things, because in understanding them, it helps you to know what you really are and what you really aren't. And when you go for mate selection, this brother has to understand the change. Everything changes, and so will he. So as he got the wherewithal to stick with it, and in days past, you know, the elders would pick the mate. Because they understood life. And so now we have a freedom to pick for ourselves now. But in essence, we really are fumbling with it, you know. And so you really got to know what you want. I'm telling you, some women really just want their babies. They don't want a man. They're all day long. They want to interact, you know. Today, Mother's Day, take me out, buy me a purse, do this. And that's the reality, and that's not bad. I'm just saying each particular woman is different, and she must understand who she is. So when she wakes up one day, she has to understand that she is the one who really built her world. Or if she doesn't, someone else has built her world for her, and she's trying to, you know, navigate through, bumping in the walls, and then wakes up one day when she finally do, okay, it's utopia, I got it, but she's 50, and that's not a bad age now, but that's a long time to have waste to not to know.
Right.
So everybody, we could always do, you know, we could jump off the cliff and see where it lands. You know, we could play with cause and effect all day long, but it will grab your time away from you, and you will not be happy. You will not. And so you got to come in life and find a way to use your life in a way that you're not disappointed with the choices that you made. Because, I mean, we could go looking for knowledge all day long and secret wisdoms, but most of the stuff right in front of your face. Ain't nothing hidden. It's really there. You just don't know what to look for. But you could go around the circle and come back in to your backyard and find that you already had it. You just didn't know what to look for. So, in essence, I think that the main thing on the area, the first thing, you know, that's really strong in my mind is the woman knowing who she is. Then you could give this brother some run for the money. Because he's a trickster all day long. He plays games. I mean, that's you can enjoy in the game playing long as you ain't losing all the time. It's almost like this new computer I bought, and it's got solitary on there. And my other computer by Dell, I could win. Now, I can only win one out of every 1,000 times on my Toshiba. You know, and men make that so. Men make that type of program, and we're not understanding that. So when you get 50, 60, 70 years old, possibly, because just because you old don't mean you learn it either. You might learn it. But you have really got to understand they cheat. Because they have an advantage. They know more about your physical makeup. You know, you tell a child, it's just like children. You tell a child, don't do this. And that child is going to try you again. And if you get too busy or you get distracted and you just keep saying, don't do this, well, then this child will keep repeating. Because the child, everybody wants what they want, even whether it's right or wrong. They want it. And they're going to try to go after it because they have it in their head. That's what they've manifested. And a man, he knows about your periods. He knows more about you, and he's up here telling you about you, and you up here feeling humbled. And at that very moment, you've given away your power. Now, it might sound good to be humble, but that's not good because you don't know nothing about his body. You'll know how he thinks, why he do what he do. I tell people, men could get an Oscar Academy. They Google it. They really are.
And some of us.
And we go along with it, and we give up our rights just to be with a man in a lot of different ways.
Some of us learn it, you know, quickly. Some of us learn it the hard way. Me, myself, I learned it the hard way.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
I learned the hard way.
I'm going to tell you, I've lived long enough that anything after 1960-something have been learning it the hard way because there was a shift. And that shift weakened each generation to learn it the hard way. It's just like back in the 50s and back beyond, there were things that people just didn't get sick from. But now you got billion-dollar hospitals to treat just that illness. And you need to say, okay, why? Because, you know, it's just not all of a sudden we just now getting sick. People play games to win it.
I'm hearing something that go ahead, Aunt.
Oh, I was about to go back into what we were initially talking about as far as the importance of mate selection. And I think, why is it important? Because of the, when you have to pick someone on the same accord that you're on, you know, and if you mate with someone who's not on the same spiritual level you're on the same accord that you're on, going towards the same goals that you're going towards, it's potentially destructive because you have to take into account that you plan to raise children,
mm-hmm.
that you plan to build a home together, that you plan to have a life together. And if you and this person aren't going towards the same journey, then, I mean, if you are, then you changing won't matter, because as you grow, he grows.
Correct.
Because y'all are growing towards the same thing. But if you're growing towards something different, then you grow apart. And it's not saying that he's bad or you're bad or anyone's at fault, but in the beginning, you didn't choose each other properly because you weren't going on this, going towards the same goal. And so your, even your spiritual base has to be in alignment. It has to be the balance. It has to be harmonic. And it has to be a level of reciprocity. So you have to build your relationship around someone who is going towards the same thing you're going towards. I don't necessarily look at being in a state of love and in a proper mate, finding a proper mate as a destination. I think there's somewhere that you reach. It's a journey. It's ongoing. Because I know, for instance, my grandmother, her and my grandfather were together for 51 years before he left this realm, and yet she still loves that man. You know, all his stuff is still in the same place, and he left in 04. No, in 02, as a matter of fact. So he's still in the, she's still in the same state, because you, when you love someone that deeply, you don't stop loving that person when they leave this place.
Because
he loves that person.
I agree with you. You know, you don't turn love on and off like a light switch.
Right.
But the thing, too, is that most women, what your grandmother, my mother, and many other mothers who were married 60 and 75 years, but I could tell you the other end of that, if that were my father being left and my mother resting, he would have him another wife. But most women will be sitting there until she's grieving over that man like my mother
did.
Right.
You're right.
See,
about
I took care of my mother till she died. She was with a man 75 years. Don't tell me. I understand it now. But I didn't then. But you have to live and grow. Like earlier, you know, most my mother, I said, just like everybody else, I mean, in the early 60s, in the 70s, I mean, you know, they did it way back then, and they you know, they were kind of backwards, but we're progressive. We're conscious in the 60s. We knew we had all the answers, you know. We were the flower children.
Wow.
You know, peaceniks. You know, Black Power, we had some answers. We thought we did. We thought we did. You know, but the truth of it is we threw away some of the very important examples, and we tried to reinvent the wheel over. And then 20, 30 years down the road, we found like, hey, we didn't reinvent the wheel. We've made some serious mistakes, and we've seen it in our children. And you guys are the ones who are trying to unlearn the mistakes that we made. And you're also, and out of that, you know, it wasn't any new paradigm that these people back in 19, I mean, my parents were slaves in the 1800s, you know, hadn't learned. You know, but we thought, we really did, because we had more material things. We thought we had more, but in the end, I know millionaires, and most of them are not happy. Most of them did not make the right selections because they didn't know who they are, and most of it falls a lot of times on women. Because women are the ones who generally marry 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Because she don't know who she is.
Let's touch on that for a minute, because during this conversation, that keeps coming up, because that's pretty much the foundation. What does a woman, what would a rites of passage entail for a young woman, and what would that entail for people our age? and some your age that still don't know who they are. What would that consist of? What would it look like?
Well, we have things that make us in this day and age that make us think that we're so emotional, that we're erotic, that we're lunatics, and that we're unstable because we're emotional. And the truth of it is, the very people that say that, they only probably focus on one or two emotions in their life, and they don't know anybody. It's just like you have some, we talk about spirituality, and that's very hard for some men to receive because they feel like everything is science.
Right,
everything is science.
Right.
You know, so there's a, and so they have programs to make you doubt yourself. And because if that mother, when she conceives that child, I mean, that is just conceiving the child on at certain times, you know, that's even important. Did nobody tell me that? You know, didn't nobody tell me that men really did not look at love in the same light that women do? You know, so the woman has to begin to understand how to stand tall like a true soldier when somebody is attacking her on her. We are attacked as women just for being women, whether it's subliminal or whether it's in your face. We are being attacked because there was something seriously that happened thousands of years ago, possibly. And it's misogyny, and it's patriarchy. And it's like, it's not that you don't honor the man. The man, he doesn't want to share dominion with you as his equal. He cannot, he's been trained that you are not his equal.
Something that, of what you're saying reminds me of something that has to do with Lilith.
Pretty much. And Eve and everybody
can
else.
Can you touch on that a little bit? Because I want everyone to understand.
Well,
you know,
well, in the Bible, there's two different creation stories there. Lilith was.
For the record,
please.
For the record, I want everybody to know that we use the Bible as well as other books for learning purposes, not necessarily because everybody isn't Christian. I know I'm not. So,
well, you don't have to be Christian to use the Bible.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. And well, even the religion and everything else. I mean, I've studied just about every religion that has ever been, and they all the same.
In most cases, they're very similar. Yeah, you use them for what they are.
They're all the same. The only thing about the present day book that we have, a lot of things been taken out. Because
exactly.
the more women began to read, the more they had to take it out. And they shift things and took it out of order. Now, Lilith was supposed to be Adam's first wife. And she wanted to lay down on top. And he wanted her under the bottom because that was more subservient. And so they demonized her, you know. And then Eve was supposed to be more submissive, but even she wasn't totally submissive because she began to have curiosity. I mean, the Bible, if you read it on the top, the Bible, I tell people the Bible is like an onion. It's very layered. You got to get through the first top of it because what it actually is saying, you can't really just totally see it that way on the top. And most people don't even know anything about a little. I mean, mostly people that study Jewish or Judaic studies or something like that, they get into the little. But most Christians don't quite understand Lilith. But she's more synonymous with Jezebel.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the Bible, the way it's written now is for submissiveness. of the female in every respect. I mean,
right.
She talks too much. She don't know nothing. You have to make decisions for her. And so that comes with the period where men are very aware of us, because for some reason, their passages is teaching them about the female. But our passage isn't teaching us enough about ourselves. We don't seem to understand. I mean, when you're dealing with women and healing, I mean, there are so many different things that go on in her not being healed. And in reality, somebody done told you you wasn't healed. And if you go around believing you're not healed, well, then you start physically producing certain chemicals in your body that can make you really not healed. I mean, the doctors used to call it psychosomatic. They still do. But you can literally manifest, just like if you say, I'm going to be a millionaire, and you make a plan, you can make to be a millionaire. And see, they've taken, when I talk about power, they've taken away our ability to believe in ourselves, to believe our dreams, you know, because we have something called tunnel vision that most men see things right in front of them. That's why they say everything's science. And it's very hard for them to understand that there is a spiritual thing. They said we're hydrogen, we're atoms, we're neutrons. And I ask them, well, if that be, well, why aren't we just still up there? How did it get together that you get all these people joining together and forming a human being? Because everything on this plane, this planet, is that. There has to be something beyond that that designed it. So you get
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You get into a lot of different things, but to the woman knowing herself is truly having a mother aware. Having a mother aware when she conceived her. I mean, because see, we as black women, in my experience, I knew back in the 60s, the white women were having sex at certain intervals where they were going to only produce a son. And
repeat
when I would try to,
repeat,
they would, they could determine what child they were going to bring forth. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
They did things so that would come about. And most of us is just, we're just now learning that. I mean, there are a few. And then those that do know it, they don't share it. So we as women, as black women especially, you know, we hold back because we don't want somebody else to get over because, you know, we're so divided and so on so many different levels.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just being able to when I say know yourself, I mean, that means that we need to know the woman. Because we are a very powerful thing when we're united. It's one graphic that says it's a dangerous thing to educate a woman.
Hmm.
And it is. And as we become, I mean, I call in, I support anything I see you guys doing because you girls are so much more smarter than we were. I mean, we were doing things. But we weren't doing everything. Now, doing the flower children, the white female woman was learning a lot of things because they had taken a lot of stuff that our grandmothers knew, and they worked the grandmothers to death so they can always pass this to us. They didn't have the time. And some of them were, but not all of them. Because you have to know they didn't, because as a whole, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in. And in knowing yourself, you would be able to look at this brother from basically, you know, befriending him. I'm not saying jumping in the bed with him, you know, milking the cow before you buy a deal, you know, or friends with friends benefit shit, because that's the ball of us, you know. There's a lot.
Along with knowing, you say knowing yourself, but you have to be at a certain place with yourself in order to not be molded by a man or what's expected of you by the women in your life, because that goes back to what I was telling, I was saying earlier. If you can't have someone who has bad credit teach you about money,
mm-hmm.
and so you can't have someone who's had a destructive relationship teach you about proper mate selection, because
that's
they're
correct.
Teaching you to change yourself to be in accordance with a man instead of finding who you are.
Correct.
You know, because I've had a lot of old school women like that, especially in the Christian community, because I grew up in the Christian community. And I had a lot of women in my life and around me in other women's lives tell them the same things, you know, be the proper wife, a proper mother, you know, this is how you handle yourself and dress in accordance to
mm-hmm.
attract this type of man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If everything that you do in your life is building yourself up in accordance to be a good wife and a good mother, and that's what defines you. Everything else is secondary. You know, everything
right.
comes down to you have to be in accordance with what he has planned, not what you have planned for you or what
correct.
You both come together collectively to plan for each other, for the whole. It's what
correct.
He has planned. And
now,
so I've had so many older women say that exact same thing. They come along with the you change who you are. And a lot of women don't know how, even once they break away from Christianity, they go right into the same bad habits of creating themselves to be what they feel like a man wants. You know,
right.
whether that be becoming Islamic because he's Islamic, or becoming
correct.
You know, becoming vegan because he's vegan. You know, changing who you are to become
right.
who he wants you to be, instead of becoming a better you.
Right. When you haven't consciously come to that conclusion and made it for yourself, and I've dealt with a lot of women like that, and I tell them, you know, the only way, and it's hard. I mean, I'm not liked by men, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for that to be, because I'll tell them, hey, if this is not what you believe in, don't come. And then, you know, the man feels, okay, you're messing up my home, but you're killing this woman's spirit.
Right. Because
but
then
that's
she lives
not,
with regret.
But
she grows,
that's what I was bringing you back to understand about the programming of, you know, misogyny and patriarchy. It has been going on for so long. See, you're going to be going around being hated like me.
But I reached
know,
a point in my life.
That's the
I
problem.
Reached a point in my life where I don't care.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. But
my
that's the point.
Is, I think we
you can't get that many women to get that. You
yeah,
can't
I
get
mean,
that
we
many.
To... I'm sorry.
You can't get that many women, because I've looked at generations, and so now you got women, and they the lap dancers, and I don't have
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm a person will tell a person that if you're gonna be a prostitute, you better be the best one out there, and you be your own pimp. I'm just trying to say for real for a woman. I mean that might be. But that's the reality, because what I'm saying, nobody's going to love you but your mama. And if she was messed up, she might not was able to love
you. Right.
But in the end, you're the only one going to love you. And if you ain't got that before you meet that man, and you thinking he going to give that to you, then you got problems.
Right.
And that's the other. Go ahead, Empress, before I say anything, because you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I was really just going off into the same thing that she was saying, as far as we can't go into a relationship and we're broken trying
right.
to find someone to make us whole. We have
right.
to be a whole who we are and on at least on a square of where we are as a person before we enter into a relationship, not only with a man but with other women. Because if we're easily swayed, women in our lives will can also potentially be destructive in our relationships with our mates.
And that's the truth. You know, and you know, my, like I said, my mom, she stayed, she was 75 years of marriage, but I could tell you, because my daddy used to take me to the other woman's house, and I remember my mama coming crying. That didn't mean she didn't love him, but you know, one day I had an epiphany, and something said, I am not going to make this man love you. And I had to go through that and understand, what is this about? Because I was told to pray about this. You know, you be a good
right.
wife, you do, like, you do this and you do
yep.
all of that, and
right.
and you give him your money. And when they start saying giving him their money, that's when me and the preacher, we had a problem. Because he wasn't going to give me his money.
That's right.
And I wasn't going to get, my mama said, the one thing she did tell me, she told, well, I didn't want, but one of the things she told me was, you never give a man your money, ever. And I had to understand it's not about selfishness, because see, he's going to get his money.
I wish I had somebody to tell me that, because I was giving away money and some of everything until I learned.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying stuff.
But yeah, but unfortunately, I mean, you guys are still young. You're learning it quick, though.
Yeah.
But you don't understand the generation we came. We didn't learn it quick, because we had the fact that we're on this phone talking, you talking earlier, you said it's the police, honey, they would have cut you down. You wouldn't be talking. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
You know what, though? That goes into something that my mother has a way of telling me things without telling me things. She has what I call the soundtrack to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And every time something happens in my life or my brother's life, you know, she'll sing a song. And
mm-hmm.
when I was in a real bad relationship, and she sung this song to me, and it made my music selections very broad, but it also made me think about some things, you know, because there's a message in the music no matter what kind of music it is.
Is
and
that not true?
She would sing to me when I was in a bad relationship. She sung, "It Takes a Fool to Learn." That love don't love nobody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when my brother would go through things, she would sing songs to him. But it was like those songs would speak such volume, you know, because my mother and her mother didn't have it's I'm going to speak on something that it sounds a little Christian, but I get the concept of what they're saying, generational curses, and how you pass
That's
down
real.
Your bad habit to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was a very controlling woman,
mm-hmm.
very controlling. I mean, to the point where she interfered where it wasn't necessary. And my mother is the same way, but not as much. And so I see it kind of diminishing as the generations progress, mostly because
mm-hmm.
the relationships between the women are different. My mother and I are a whole lot closer than her mother and she were. They
mm-hmm.
were very close as they got older.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was younger, she told me many times, her mother didn't talk to her about sex. Her mother didn't talk to her about becoming a woman or how to be a wife or how to be a mother. She didn't talk to her about how to be a woman. She learned those things from her sisters. Granted, her older sister is about 10 years her senior. However, it's a different experience when you learn it from the woman that gave you life versus a woman that's in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so having that relationship with my mother, I think, makes me a better woman and will eventually make me a better wife and mother, because
right.
my mom was able to sit down and talk to me about, you know, and not necessarily go into detail, but she would sing it to me, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
don't be a
she,
fool in
she
so
used
many
her
words.
Wisdom.
Yeah, you
yeah.
know, don't be a fool.
She,
baby,
she knew if
know.
She directly came after you would shut her down.
Oh, yeah.
So she found her way, and that's
mm-hmm.
the creativity of the woman.
Yeah.
But even her mother not getting along with her, here again we go back to a paradigm. Why did that actually happen?
and the idea of generational curse, it has nothing to do with Christianity. You know, so you put a lot of markers on stuff. That's what I'm talking about, programming. You
right.
put a lot of markers on stuff. So in your mind, okay, that's Christianity. But you got what my mom said, even a drunk can teach you something. And what she meant by that, if it's wisdom, it
that's
doesn't
right.
matter where it is. Don't put a marker on it, because sometimes, you know, there's a lot that's going on. If you want to throw Christianity away, well, the ideal of Christ meant that you had raised to a Christ status. That meant you had
exactly.
reached the God status, and you were
right.
godly. You were no longer letting your lower self control you. So
right.
when you start, now you got to really listen to what I'm saying, because there is something of a program that's trying to make you, every time the woman gets to master something, see, I'm a woman preacher. They didn't work. I knew I was supposed to preach since I was 2 years old. Wouldn't nobody let me preach, because they say women ain't supposed to be in the pulpit.
That's right.
And so when women started really on a mass scale becoming ordained, the whole paradigm changed. And so now you got people saying, oh, do away with the Bible, because she's beginning to decode it. See, any time she begins to understand what it's really, really saying, it shifts. It's just like the maps, or it's just like the calendar. Anytime those who it's really meant to hurt, because it's a book called The Art of War. This is a warfare tactic. It's a warfare
mm-hmm.
tactic. You know,
mm-hmm.
see, I wanted to be a general in somebody's army, but I'm only 4 foot. I was only 4'11". They say I was too little. So I just still know how to do it. But these are warfare tactics. Wisdom cries aloud. I don't care where it is. You won't hide it. It's there. If it's in the Bible, if it's in the Quran, I don't care where it's at. If it's in this drunk man, I don't care. You hold it. And that's what she told me. You hold it. You guard it. Because there's a lot of things. I know people don't want to believe this, but there's a lot of things of that trains how you think about things
mm-hmm.
and how you receive things in and how you put things out. The woman has got to come together and understand what true wisdom is. And that had to do with her own well-being, the well-being of the children that she produced, and the well-being of the environment that she had to live in. And so when you start dealing with things being chopped up, you can definitely know for sure it's a man. Because, see, they have to divide things. They can't, because they got to study a small thing. But women deal with the whole thing. I mean, the women are the ones who run the corporations. She did it in her home. She's multitask, multi-this, and to make you believe that you're not this.
A prime example of what you're saying, sorry to cut you off, but a prime example of what you're saying is, let's bring it to what's going on right now. These people weren't scared of Barack Obama becoming the president. They were scared of Michelle Obama starting to look like she knew what she was doing, and she's a black woman.
Because she looked too black.
That's right.
Babies with their black hair.
Natural hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they wearing braids and stuff. Yeah.
And to understand, when you said your other mother was controlling, there were generations of women that had to be that way, because you wouldn't be here today. See, you cannot let these folks out here tell you about these dumb folks in the past. They wasn't conscious and they wasn't this. You're being very foolish if you do, because, see, you wouldn't be here without them.
That's right.
You know, they had to do what they had to do, just like we have to do today what we have to do to make our families work. And if we're lucky and fortunate to have a man that works with us, then okay. But as a whole, even with that man, you still really running that house.
That's right.
You just got an extra child.
Women run corporations every day. You know, that's we right. gotta make sure all the bills pay. We gotta make sure the children have what they need. You
that's
know,
right.
a prime, somebody made a comment that spoke volume, and it sounds like a very small comment, but it makes sense. They said you can't leave and I'm not male bashing because I love my man, but they said you can't. A man ain't gonna give nobody else his last bit of food on his plate. He won't eat it. So you can't leave a man in control of making sure everybody gets fed.
See, I don't think nobody, we got all these little clue words to make you like male bashing. The hell with that shit. You know, truth is what needs to be spoke about. You stop
right.
making excuses for who you are. I am feminist. You damn straight. I'm a feminist. I'm a female. Why should you let this see? You got all these little cute words that make you. And he is supposed to be masculine.
Mm-hmm. Why he's so sensitive?
Well, so you got all this stuff because a man done made you be sensitive.
Exactly. Why,
you gotta give that disclaimer.
So when I made it, so you
when
got
men,
all
men
these
supposed to be protectors and providers. Well, okay, so if you what are you protecting if the women got to come out on and protect their own home and do everything, then you know what I'm saying?
And that might be something that you might need to relearn because now the only thing you being protected, who's your worst enemy? That movie when they said sleeping with the enemy? You better believe this at times because that man truly does not see life the same way you do unless he has been trained. Now, my mom, she trained my brother. He was about 8, 9, 10 years. He had to cook, clean, and do everything I had to do.
That's right.
And my mother, and at that time, they didn't bring us up with this gender stuff to say, well, this is just a woman or this is just a man. He had to do it all. She said,
oh, man.
You need to know how to do this stuff because you don't need to be going around kissing no woman's butt.
That's exactly. right.
She said, you need to know how to do this stuff so you could take care of yourself because you're going to have children.
Exactly.
Right.
The other thing that we do to our – I'm sorry.
Go on.
The other thing that we do to our girls is that let's take Christmas for those who practice Christmas. We sit and we go by the little girls. Go down the toy aisle for the girls. You see shopping stuff. You see cooking stuff. You see us teaching the little girls how to do
right.
hair. You see this and that.
How to be
you go down the little exactly. When you go down the boys' aisle, you see trucks. You see games. You see all type of toys that have nothing to do with taking care of themselves. So
that's right.
You know what, though? I take it a step further, though, sis. A lot of people bash the Barbie doll because of the superficial things on the surface,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
dig deep. Barbie was the only doll who did everything. Barbie had her own house, her own car, her own
right.
everything. She had multiple jobs. I mean, Barbie was a doctor, a lawyer, a mother, a seamstress.
Everything.
Barbie did everything. She was an astronaut, and this was during the times when women were supposed to be in a home, and yet
correct.
Barbie evolved. Barbie was a businesswoman. She had a
that's
suit
right.
with a briefcase, the whole nine. You know, and yet we didn't pay attention to that part. You know, we just saw, oh, she's a doll, you know,
and she's built
superficially with the, you know, the huge breast and the you know, the frame and physique and, you know, the ideal beauty. But you go deeper than that, look at what she did.
Right.
It was revolutionary.
It's a lot of things. And the way my parents did it, you know, I liked erector sets and Lincoln Logs and all that stuff. And so did my brother. And we both had a train set. And I had as many dolls, anything that I wanted. And if he had wanted some dolls, they would have got him that too. Because, see, when I raised my children, I had one son and two daughters. And
I buy him a doll too. Who said, hey, he was going to be a daddy? That's the way I thought about it. You know, so you're trying
to. I understand on that one because I taught my brothers, I have three brothers, and I taught my brothers how to do my hair because my brother has a daughter. You know,
my son-in-law
can
braid hair.
And grease my hair.
Yeah.
And braid my hair.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. So we haven't really, you know, we've got to be more, we've got to step out of what somebody is trying to tell us and be real and look at reality. This boy going to have to eat clean, sleep, wash his clothes. He going to have to do a whole bunch of things, and she is too. And he has to be a father. So he needs to know, I made my son babysit all day long. I made him change diapers, and I had to go and buy him some plastic gloves because it was a problem because he didn't want to get that stuff on his hand. And I said, I don't care, but you, because he tried to find excuses. I ran a daycare. He tried to find excuses. And, you know, I could have beat him up, but I decided I wouldn't. So I went and bought these plastic gloves so he wouldn't have an excuse because the man is the expert on excuses. So I made my son know that there is no such thing as excuses. And my son could cook a dinner that makes some women cry. He could do anything. He posed to. Because I told him, I said, you know, in this generation, you ain't going to find no woman that's good. I didn't raise him that way. But, you know, that's the issue. You're not raising. You're trying to tell your kid to go play football. He learning how to be a gladiator. And a gladiator has to kill something in him. And that's what's happening to us. And they want to say that that's masculine. Ain't no woman made a child to hate her. Something else did that. So when you talk about making a husband or meeting the right person, we can meet the right people if we start producing them, start training them, stop believing this crap that some teacher can teach your child better than you, because she going to teach them for the state. She ain't teaching them for you. And he going to be the one that's 60 years old, 50 years old, living off of you.
I want to touch on something because I got an email about something, and my reaction to this email, I typed it up because it was something I wanted the women to discuss during this show, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a part 2 and 3 to this proper mate selection because this is not just a two-hour topic.
It isn't. It's the foundation of life. It's the real problem.
It is. Now, the thing that I wanted to touch on was, what happens in a relationship, this is a result of not doing proper mate selection. When the two people realize that they're not going to work out together and they divorce or they leave or one person leaves and then you have children involved. And why do some women and some men try to make a relationship work just for the children when they're not good with each other?
You really want to know the deep truth of that? Or do you want to know? I mean, I could tell you a lot of, because it's a lot of levels to that answer. And it's deeper than you.
I want to know the truth.
Don't lie to me. The deep, dirty truth.
We like ours raw here. Don't give us the sugar stuff. Give it to us.
I love y'all then.
I want the real deal.
the real deal is because right back to patriarchy. And it's all about this. Everything is to support the man. He doesn't have to pay her no child support. He doesn't have to give her no alimony. He doesn't have to lose what he's gained. And then so you make them believe that in staying together that this is going to be right for the children. But see, children have long since figured out their parents. Children are smarter than the parents. And the thing here is, it was just a way to protect the man.
What they say is cheaper to keep her.
Yeah. And see, they made the
parents. My mama sung a song for everything. It's cheaper to keep
her. They made wars. Believe me, listen to what I'm saying. They made wars, and they made money and commerce and everything like that in order to keep her in her place.
Wow.
It made it hard for her to survive. So you could throw that Bible away, but in Revelations, it talks about the dragon chasing the woman and child, and that's exactly what it is. It's just like the foot bindings they did. They bind women's feet so that they would grow deformed so they wouldn't run away because women ran away. I don't think people want to hear it, and the men don't want to talk. Everybody want to start in the middle and then try to talk about nation building. And if you want to know what the damn square is, the square is the woman.
That's right.
Because ain't nothing coming through here with no two men.
That's right.
No,
she is the square. And if she is unstable, everything else is. And that's why
that's
it is.
That's right. That's right. That is so right.
So this, to really understand, this isn't, you don't need a man in this discussion, because this ain't about a man. Because he's only going to tell you what he wants you to know for his good. But the most important thing to make a happy camper, you better be happy.
That's right.
Because you're doing all the work anyway. You are the supervisor of civilization.
You just touched on something that we've been talking about amongst ourselves for a minute in terms of the women. The women, what's going on right now and what's coming about in the next couple of years, the women are going to have to take the lead on it. We're going to have to stop sitting around letting things be patriarchal when it never started out that way.
That's right. That's
in order
my,
for us to get things back in order,
you know,
it has to go back to matriarchal.
People be talking about, you know, they say, well, why you want to call you? Why you pastor? Everybody get threatened. Well, shit, pastor mean mother.
Wow.
A lot of preachers got on that black dress.
Shit.
But, you know, that's a dress.
I am mother. I am God. Shit. You know, that's why.
That's right.
You know, and I'm never going to love somebody determine who I am. And then you got women that side, they be so signed because, you know, I call them matrons. You know, women have had to do a lot of things. But, you know, the fact that I'm doing it my way, because that's my way, I got it right, you know. You got all kinds of chemicals in your body and all kinds of art. It's universes within universes. And I'm a part of that universe, and this is the way it is. When you step in mine. Now, I love the black man. Ain't nothing pretty because he's just a neutered woman. I love him. And he compliments and I compliment him. And I'm not going to hurt you. But all, see, why is it I got to feel like I'm sick because I love you and I am love? No, the issue is you better learn how to love.
That's right.
Because love ain't what you thought it was. And if you want to get real raw, I got a dick, too.
Ooh. Say that again.
I said I got a dick, too.
They ain't ready.
I mean, they're not ready.
I will love you and I will treat you, but you can't be a king until you come to a queen.
That's right.
And I will give you all due respect and honor as long as you honor me. I am not going to put you under me. I'm saying I am equal to you and really a little bit above you because I made you.
That's right. Hey, no man can honestly say they made a woman.
And never will.
We make men and women.
We do. And they all females for a long time before they ever get to be a male.
That's right.
So I'm just saying when you can stand, and all of this stuff is in every woman, we have just been programmed very, very early on to not let this out. But when you have a mother, when she's got to take control of her sexuality and know what she's doing. Sex was made for procreation. And it's also for pleasure, too. But we're so focused on the pleasure part of it, then we bring in back these ancestors that probably don't need to be here. And then you're looking around saying, what's the matter with the, you know, people, what's the matter? Well, you did it. And the man knows that. And you're the one that don't. See, the man, I tell people, there is never a whole lie in life. They're half truth. I'm going to Walgreens. He's going to tell you the truth. This is why they can't, you know, they don't use the lie detector anymore, because they learned how to beat it. He said, I'm going to Walgreens. He said, okay. Now, what he don't tell you is he's going to see Sally Mae, or Sally Mae going to be at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. So when he takes more time than need be, you say, well, where'd you go? I went to Walgreens. And you'd be like, you already feel that something isn't right about. But he going to say something to you that's going to sound logical, and what you did is forgo what you really knew. Because, see, you know. And that's the one thing. If they can get you to believe everything is scientific, they can take away your intuition, and that's your deepest power that makes who you are. And everything that's programmed on this earth right at this time in America, and because it's really in the Western world, is to make you believe not to trust you, not to trust your thoughts. But when he said, I'm going to go rob a bank, and he decided to make a plan, he go rob that bank. Now, if he told me that, I said, don't do it. And he going to go rob the bank anyway because he believed he could do it. And most times they get away with it, and sometimes they get caught. But what I'm using that example is, you can't tell him that his way isn't right, and he really, really believes that. But if he tells you that your way is right, you crumble and you forsake what you really know. And you do know. And that's the biggest thing that has happened to women. She no longer believes in what she really know. And then those in the old times, women, they had all kinds of codex and code words. Or like you said, your mom, she sings a song. She don't do a lot of talking. She sings the song. And so you don't feel, because kids, they catch patterns. And so you don't learn from the song. That's how she teaches. That's her creativity. Because, see, we're very multi. We were the multi-geniuses. We taught them how to write. Now, you can let them tell you something else, but, see, we were telepathic, and we still are. But we taught our sons these things, and our sons began to use these things against us as they are today. And we have long since been programmed to not remember, or even when we do remember a little, you know, we make small strides. And women had to allow men to believe that they were in charge, like my mother said, but she was ruling that house, you know. And if she got to the point that she said don't come, he wasn't going to come. But he wasn't going to do too much to make her mad. And it's important, because the woman holds everything together. She creates it, and she holds it together.
The glue.
But she's more than the glue, because she creates
one
it, too.
One of the facets, right. That's what I'm saying. One of the facets is we hold things together.
Yeah. Right. We are some very powerful beings that don't know that we're very powerful, because the people that are afraid of us are trying to control our power.
Wow. You know, the funniest thing that you will find in the conscious community is a lot of men trying to tell you how the black woman is so great, and right up underneath them telling you the black woman is so great, they try to keep her in her place, so to speak.
Amen.
Her place. What is her place? What is a woman's place? What is that? Because my place is all over.
You better believe that.
So if I'm cute,
as Kathleen Cleaver say, my place is in the struggle.
I mean, what is a woman's place?
I don't know, because I own the earth and the universe. So, it's one of those other things that is you being a thinking, got your eyes open, woman, you see it. But I bet you it's a whole bunch of other conscious women that think they're conscious that just go along with it. So she owns everything. So that's where her place is.
I have a question for you, Jeanette, right quick. I was listening to another radio show, and they mentioned a couple of things in the Bible that when you sit there and you ponder on it and you actually read it, it kind of sort of makes sense the way it was laid out. They spoke of what was said was something about the serpent. You remember when Eve went to the garden and she came back with the apple?
Genesis 3 and 1, yes.
What happened with the serpent? Who was the serpent? And what happened there and what transpired before she came back and gave Adam the apple?
Serpent plays two roles, but primarily the serpent is the woman, and she's knowledge, and the serpent represents virginity.
Exactly.
Now, on the other side, it represents his penis.
Mm-hmm.
And he in Genesis 3 and 1, it says now now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts that God had made. And so you go on and you tell this story, and then, you know, it's really, you have to really read clearly Genesis 2 to understand 3. Because if you want to tell the story like they tell it in the pulpit, it says that God had told Eve about everything, rules and regulations.
Right.
Eve wasn't born. Okay, she hasn't been created. So then, in Psalms 3, actually, he's having sex with her. Now, you think about this. Go along with me. He having sex with her. And you know after sex, then they want to talk to you sometimes. So he's telling you, you know, God said you can't, but you really can. You know that. And I tell people, I bring them down to the story. And I said, now, God made this strong-ass man. And he let this woman that he loved, because there wasn't no other woman around, and he let her pick this fruit that was going to destroy him. I said, but now look at that story. If he loved her, he would have pulled her away. If I got a man and he got some muscle, see, I ain't going to never marry no man that I could totally, I could kill him, but if I had to stand up and fight with him, I ain't going to want him. If I could beat him.
Right.
So he wasn't the one. She couldn't beat him. So why couldn't he grab her and pull her away? But see, what it's really talking about is the woman had enough curious to question things, as we always do, just like we're doing right now. You know, it's the taboo thing. Men have a way of saying, don't do that. This and that will happen. But she questioned it. I mean, if she didn't, her noggin wouldn't work. Her brain wouldn't work. We were given a brain. What's the? We just needed to have been made without the brain. So it's a lot that's going on there. It's about the Kundalini rising, her sex rising. It's a lot of things that can imply, because they kind of messed it up when they rewrote it. Because when the rabbis wrote it, they... See, the rabbis, when I went to school, they basically said, if you want to tell a lie, you got to tell it at the beginning. But the problem, like I said, with a lie is there's never a whole lie, because he's building off an ideal that some woman made anyway, and he's trying to make it his own by putting his name on it. So he can't totally erase it all the way. He has to keep the foundation of it there. But the story
and the snake, you know, this says now the snake, because see, the snake really represents a woman too.
And that's what I was about to touch on. When I was listening to this other show, they made a comment in reference to the snake being representative of Lilith, and that Lilith was giving Eve her rites of passage, and that's why she came back with that red apple.
And see, it never did say it was an apple and different things. It could have been a fig.
They didn't actually say apple. I said that myself.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, but no, when you say apple, in the major Christian religions, they say apple. But when you get into the original ancient Hebrew and you read it, it doesn't say that. And there are words, which is Hebrew, is really just Swahili. They don't want to say that either. But when we went to school, I mean, I really had a very good professor. And he just told the truth and showed it to us. He proved the truth. He showed us they have rare book rooms. They hide stuff in. You know, they know that these people, they know that they were black. And because, and the Pope knows that they were black. You know, everybody want to get on every.
That's why he still worships the black Madonna and child, so-called Madonna.
And that's why he dresses in this guy. And I was brought up that.
He dresses in Egyptian or Kemetian style. If you look at some of their headdresses, they say I-S.
Honey, I was Catholic, believe me. I understand it now more than I ever understood it. And when we started dividing and talk about Western world and this, where Europe and Europa was the queen, she was a black woman that a black father, when the patriarchy was taken over, they gave her. And see, the myth, they put things in myth and mythology and, you know, to confuse you even more. I'm telling you, anything that's confusing is a man. I'm not trying to, I am not male bashing. I'm telling truth.
You are.
Because he compartmentalizes. But the problem of it is, he isn't wisdom. And so my mama said, what's done in the dark will come to light every day.
That's right.
Because she the dark too. You understand it?
Definitely.
We the dark and the light. We're all things. You know. And when things came over, you had to make, if it was an Aset, you had to have an Osiris. But see, there was a time where there were no Osiris. They knew that they didn't put the man down. It's just that they understood what the woman really was, that she was God.
Okay, let me stop you for a minute. You just said a comment that I wanted to touch on, but I thought I was going to end up having to say before a part two. You just said there was a time where there wasn't an Osiris.
Yes, I did.
Okay, are you speaking about what some are now bringing up as parthenogenesis?
Say that again.
Parthenogenesis. Or are you speaking about meaning where there were just women?
I'm telling you that there was a time that there wasn't any men.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you there was a time when the men functioned with the women in pure heaven here on earth. And something happened in the cosmos. Something happened. And this earth got knocked off its axis. And it changed. And things changed. You know, because men, they used to really didn't understand how children came about. And they really did honor her.
Right.
So there, the first God on this universe was always a woman. And what they did within different religions, and religion isn't bad, people. That's culture. Everybody has culture. But when you use something that you don't know what you're really doing, yeah, that can be anything. I don't care what culture. You could be in the Yoruba if you don't understand what you're really doing and why you're doing it and what it's supposed to produce, then, yeah, that could be religion, and you could be fooled by that too. Anything could be fooled when you're ignorant and used against you, if you're ignorant of it. If I know quantum physics and you don't, then that could be dangerous. But is quantum physics itself danger? No. So if you go and you have you everybody, you know, your family meets once a month and have a big dinner. And your family, it grows and grows. I mean, because that's everything was built on families, people. You know, families build cultures and became civilizations. Just like it says Cain, you know, they the Cush and that was part of who they were. Well, that's how everything is always made. You know, so the things here is just coming back to understand and letting women understand what her power really is so that she can be who she really is, because if she don't, that's the real insanity, because she's never going to feel happy. She's never going to feel whole, and she will always be, you know, more or less unhealthy. And so he will always use things to benefit, because men need women. They might hate that they need us, but they need us. They might get one to be a woman for the backbone. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I heard something coming. They might need one woman to be the backbone, but then they might need several other different women to be every other part. But if that backbone woman moves out the way, then he'll fall down because he has nothing to support him. Men need women. Do I need a man? Hell no. I can have him or not have him, and that's the real scary part.
And see, that's the part that a lot of women, some women feel like they have to have a man. They have to have a man. And I think go ahead, speak on that.
Well, I'm just saying, when you got every religion and mamas and daddies, listen, I knew people who told their daughters, don't get too much education, you ain't going to get no husband. I mean, and that was a paradigm back in the 60s when black women the first time in a great amount start going getting an education.
And see, the thing is, like my mom, I watched her put up with a whole lot of different things because she had a man. And her mother told her, it don't matter, you got a man. Meaning, you're supposed to put up with whatever you got to put up as long as you got a man. And that, to me, no sense whatsoever.
No, it didn't. Because, see, we gave our daughters to these men just to keep them. And that's stuff that don't nobody want to talk about, because that's a real deal. We did a lot of stuff just to keep a man.
Yeah,
but you know something? I never divorced my husband. I didn't put him out. I think he just kind of knew that I wasn't going to stand for some stuff, so he voluntarily left. And I didn't care. So I raised my kids. I didn't divorce him. I loved him. I figured I had to find out first what was going on with me, because I people step up to you and try to check you out. And I had, I began to see all these was fools, you know, that I ain't going to say they fools, but they weren't people that I could, I didn't need no extra kids, and I didn't need no grown one that I couldn't tell what to do. And so I decided to stay by myself. Now, I was in church. The church brethren despised me because I was supposed to fall apart because my husband left. I was like, well, how was my kids going to eat?
Women, honey, black women can't afford to fall apart when we got stuff to do.
No. Well, my point of it is they hate you when you don't.
Exactly.
Because when you don't, you ain't crying, I need a man. And see, that's what I'm saying. I was the type, my mother really raised me to be who I was. You know, and you get all these, you got men compartmentalizing women, you know, you got the ones that go to church. Everybody talk about a good girl. And I despise that. And I, every time somebody get my face talking about a good girl, what the hell a good girl? The wife and the whore is the same. Shit, he made them both. But they both women. So, you know, I ain't going to go and tell no, and that's the thing that hurt us as women, because we begin to get divided. Now we can't even get along with one another. And that's, and they happy, and they're keeping it going. Every time you catch on to what they do, they change the program. But women better put their foot down. I think it was some article somebody put on the blog about how the
Kenya.
Women over in Africa went on
Kenya.
Sex strike.
Yep.
Honey, we better do it not for no damn week. We better do it for a good long time until it gets right.
And some women,
because if we don't, we in trouble.
Like that.
Well, that's because the woman, when you start messing with little bitty kids nowadays who are more, who've been sexual ever since some grown man touched her. And women got to deal with the fact that she has sexual addictions right now. It, my mama used to call it Pandora's box.
Hmm.
And when Pandora's box is open, it's hard to close. But we better close that damn box, because we're not going to get, because things are just going to keep on going, and it's going to keep getting bad, because this past generation of women, I tell you, they giving everything away and anything away just to be with a man. And these men are the new paradigm now with the younger brothers. They up there getting the girls pregnant, so they have a place to stay. And then they're making all these babies by who shut, and then, you know, they're constantly on the hunt for a woman that's got a good job. They're going to help him pay child support. And then they tell you, get rid of your name and this, that, and the other. And then when you go to, see, it's a lot of stuff that don't nobody want to clearly talk about.
Why do we take
openly.
On a man's name?
Well, as a pastor, I found out, well, that was a part of patriarchy. But as a pastor studying everything in the state, that's not even a true law in all states. In some states, he can take your name. Actually, in some states, you don't have to take neither one of your names. But you don't know the law anymore, and you were never supposed to know it. And see, I'm a bad pastor because I'm telling the secrets. Only thing that's a damn, that even denotes a secret is a damn man, because he's a liar. He's lying and hiding something to basically, like I told you about that solitary game. They already, when a man, or when people go to war, if you read that book, The Art of War, the person who instigated the war, he's already going to win the war. Because most of the war is just a game.
Right.
And in the game, he's going to program it that he wins. But
before we,
the masses
we
don't
have,
know that.
Hold on one moment. We have 7 minutes remaining.
Okay.
So I kind of thought, are we going to make this a part two and a part three until we finish discussing this? Because I wanted this to be the foundation of what the Black Womaniverse stands on. Because we need to understand who we are as women and tap into that divine feminine and knowledge of ourselves so that we can truly build out in the way it needs to be done, because we don't have a lot of time before some things start to shifting around.
Right. It's very, very, I mean, this subject here I had to call today, you know, because this is important, and if you're going to talk about it, you got to get deep and raw. If you're not going to talk, if you're going to be little girls, you don't need to talk about it. Just do what your past mamas did. Accept it. But if you're going to talk about it and you're going to actively do something to change it, then you can. It's not, ain't no man going to help you with this one. He can't, because it's not about him. And as you begin to heal, he will heal. He ain't going to change because you won't change. Why should he change? And he done got past this storm.
That's right. That is so right.
Wow. What can I say?
Well, I think we touched on a very good point as far as, you know, true mate selection starts with knowing yourself. You have to know yourself before you go on this search for this mate. Because, I mean, if you're on a destructive path and you meet with somebody on a destructive path, you know, and you bring babies into this world, into a house of destruction, then it's destined to fail.
Right.
Amen. And that's been what's been going on as a whole with the black family. You know, it ain't really nobody that's chasing us, y'all. It's nobody that's hurting us but us.
That's right.
I would have to agree with that. A lot of times we want to keep saying, oh, the white man did this, the white man did that. No, it's called accountability. At some point, yeah, they may have started some stuff, but we allowed ourselves to perpetuate it. So at some point, someone has to say, hold on, everybody stop. Let's rewrite, let's stop and let's start over. Let's get things in order instead of back and forth blaming people, because that's not going to fix nothing.
No.
Not only that, but I think now we've gotten to a point of not only accountability but solution, because
yeah,
we
right.
understand what has happened. In the past
right.
generations, we've understood what has taken place, what has been handed to us, what has been taken from us, you know, how we've been manipulated and disenfranchised. But at this
mm-hmm.
point, now we're at a point of, okay, now we recognize the problem. What's the solution? You know, there's a lot of people I hear always talk about we are sick Africans, right? And in therapy, if anybody ever took psychology or anything of that nature, it'll tell you that the first step to recovery is identifying the problem. Well,
right.
for generations, we've identified the problem. What's step two? Fixing the problem. Now we have to take into account our own accord to fix it. We have to fix it. We can no longer sit around and you know, lay and wallow in the fact that we have been victimized. Because once you lay in your victimized, then you become a victim.
Amen.
You stay stagnant. You stay in that same place.
Right.
We cannot become complacent in being victims.
And the Bible, they telling you to throw away, it actually says that.
Can I ask you one
read
question?
That. Yes.
I wanted you to touch on right quick before we get off the line today about, you mentioned something about Revelations, and I know in Revelations they talk about opening up the seven seals and that that's when things were going to start to change. To me,
mm-hmm.
when I read that with some of the knowledge that I've acquired now, it seems to me as though they may be talking about the seven chakras within the body and opening up and becoming conscious and aware of who you are and what you are.
It ain't no thing to be. It is. The seven churches, the seven seals, the yeah. But
mm-hmm.
you didn't know what that was because the priest didn't tell you.
No, they never touched the book of Revelations.
Oh, well, I went to places,
hard,
they touched it. They wasn't going to tell you what it meant.
You very seldom see it, though. You very seldom see it. You will see it.
Just like you go to church and you got most Christian people going to church, and they take yoga, but they don't even put the two together to know it's all the same.
Right.
You see, you got everything, you know, compartmentalized and fractured up. Not understanding that it's talking about the same thing. I am more than tired, you know, because I'm fixing to go someplace else pretty soon. And I got a lot to do. I got to wake up and speak the truth so that I can move on to my next destination. And in other words, I'm just saying that, you know, everything is the same thing. Don't throw away nothing. You'll be a fool.
Are you online right now?
Am I what now?
Are you online right now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Will my computer act right?
what I meant by that is I want the three of us to give out our contact information, not phone numbers over the air, but at least email, so people who will listen to the show in the archives, if they have a question or want to contact us. So I guess.
Well, I'm going to give you my phone number over the air, because if they want to call me, they can call me. I am more than tired of being afraid. You know, I'm a die good if I got to die. I'm talking about being a real life soldier. I am tired of being afraid. And all this fear tactic here, that is the very thing that keeps you divided and scattered. So this is my phone number. Anybody else want to call me and cuss me out? I'm everything that I am. My phone number is 513-238-9246. That is the most important thing, is to stop being afraid.
We need to talk about that on a future show, too, fear.
Well, that's how they make the fear, the tactics and the programs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The swine flu coming today.
Mm-hmm.
But they making billion-dollar, trillion-dollar hospitals.
Man, this swine flu is full of crap.
So they can make.
But you know what,
if
though,
it do
I was
come,
watching a film that was talking about that same thing, and I know we only have a few seconds, but it was touching on that same thing, saying that, you know, there's not going to have to be this mass brainwashing of making people, of forcing people to accept the computer chips. We're going to line
mm-hmm.
up to take
it. Amen.
We're going to line up to get it, because they're going to scare us.
Well, you done already done it, and not knowing it. It ain't about, if y'all know how to do conference call after this go off, we can still carry this conversation. Because, in other words, can all three of y'all call?
Yeah.
And
okay,
still
I don't
talk.
Know, I don't know what Empress has to do after the show is over, but I was planning on calling you, so I was hoping.
Well, the truth of it is, you done already took the computer chip, if you really want to know. You have.
Okay, yeah, we can further this discussion. Y'all don't properly end the show, sis. And
we're going to go ahead and do that. Let's see. I'll pick this one.
Yeah.
This is a message from the mother.
Let's go, girl.
She told me to tell my brother she loves you. And I do too.
Yes.
Cause you're my superstar.
You're my superstar.
You are.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's a pretty day. Let's go outside and enjoy it. If you got something else in mind, then I'm all for it. I will take the chance. I will take it. Then we'll go there. That you earned it, deserve it. Love is something I can give, cause I'm worth it. You amaze me, I am taken in. You're so lovely, I can
see your face.
You're loving in a braver way. I wear the aura of a king and dream of a love supreme. As a child, I was told that my love is king. See what it can bring to the lives of those that ain't afraid to give with their souls exposed. Golden rose, you color my reality with balladry, allowing me to love like a child of three. I'm proud to be a superstar.
I can see you, baby.
You're my superstar.
And you're my it turned into loving. Then the love back the like. Now I feel like I birthed him or nursed him and named him so full of potential. He stands tall, I feel his internal. Fine like the earth and the sea and the sky. Together we make stars, we are truly fly. I wanna paint him, take a picture of his soul. This story should be told. Story should be told. He's like everything I dreamed of, but better than the preview. Now everything he working on, it's got me saying me too. Like he food and I need blood cause he bleed. He real cause I see it's all meant to be. Remember how to make believe. Yo, these brothers are your enemy. You're in a state of disbelief. Without your heart, you'll never be. So sister, sing along.